Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So for our Thursday tech segment, we begin with a very simple idea, a universal dream, really, voiced here by a fairly ordinary Silicon Valley techie nerd guy.
We might be able to finally get rid of those nasty little power cords that irritate us so much. We'll have to see.
Get rid of power cords? Wireless power transmission? Well, it's not just about power cords for laptops. It's been a holy grail for scientists around the world for more than a century. Whether in Russian experiments for producing home lighting without wires to Cold War-era giant transmission demonstrations by NASA conducted decades ago.
The most dramatic of these was the NASA JPL Goldstone demonstration conducted in 1975, in which 34,000 watts of power was safely transmitted over 1.5 kilometers at an efficiency of greater than 82%.
34,000 watts, ouch, that could shock you. Well, here to talk about this holy grail of wireless power on the largest and smallest scale, we're joined by Takeaway Technology contributor Farhad Manju. He writes technology stories for Slate.com. Good morning, Farhad.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And we're also joined by Eric Geiler of a company called Y-Tricity, which is developing wireless electrical technology, and he's on the line from Tokyo, Japan. Good morning to you, Eric.
Good morning, John.
So, first of all, Farhad, how important is this holy grail of wireless technology, wireless power transmission, to, first of all, just the gadget world?
Yeah, I think that if it works, if we get systems that allow you to charge your laptop, you know, wirelessly when you enter a room, it would be amazing. Right now, the system is available just on a few devices. Wireless charging, you can get it on the Palm Pre, which has a cell phone that has this adapter that you can buy for $70. And then you place the phone on this adapter, and then it charges up. And most of the current systems work like this. There's these little sort of mouse pad-like adapters, and so they don't work from very far away. But I think that if you could get a system where, you know, you could charge something from several feet away or even more, we'd all be liberated to walk around the room or go wherever we want.
We sure would. Eric Geiler, what's the science of this no-wire electrical transmission business?
The science of wireless power transfer was first presented back about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago at MIT, by a professor who'd been kept awake by his wife's cell phone beeping every night, running out of power. And he was thinking to himself, with all this power running around on the walls, why couldn't some of it come into his phone? The trick is, of course, you want to be able to do it safely, and you want to be able to do it efficiently. I mean, most people think of electricity, if you think of electricity going through the air, that's lightning, which inherently wouldn't be safe. What the technology that Y-Tricity has developed that's spun out of MIT, it uses a technology called highly coupled magnetic resonance. It's a bit of a mouthful, but essentially describes a phenomena that has existed in nature, which allows two objects that are of similar resonance to be able to exchange energy with each other. And we do that using very light density magnetic fields. So that's how we get it through the air without interacting with human beings and are able to do it efficiently.
How do you make sure that this isn't kind of like turning all the lights on in your house and leaving them on, that there's not just electricity bouncing around your house all the time not being used?
Well, first of all, it isn't electricity going through the air, but what we do is, in any of these systems, they turn off if they're not being used. So they're smart enough to figure out that power isn't required at the other end.
Farhad Manju, why do these systems, which have been promised for a while, seem difficult to scale up? I mean, Sony's talking about a completely wireless flat-screen TV, but beyond that, it's pretty hard to manage these at high wattages.
Yeah, and I mean, the ones we've seen, they've raised a lot of expectations, but they fail kind of in the implementation. So, for example, there's this Dell laptop, the Latitude Z, which, you know, made a lot of news because it was going to get wireless power, which is something that lots of people want in a laptop. But it turns out that in order for it to work, it comes with this huge stand, this huge sort of charging stand. And instead of plugging the laptop into the wall, you have to just put the laptop on the stand, and it's kind of an ugly stand. And it's also $200. So people weren't big fans of that. I mean, I think that if they can sort of perfect that portion of it, it might work. Although you have to also consider that it might also cost a lot.
So. Right. I mean, there's a safety question if you get the voltages up really, really high. Eric Geiler, does the technology that NASA demonstrated back in the 70s of power transmission have anything to do with the kind of work that you're doing on smaller gadgets?
Actually not. Most of the technology that was developed previously for running power over distance did what's called radiated. And when it radiates, you don't want to be getting in the way of it.
Yeah.
The technology we're using actually scales from quite small devices to quite large ones. So I'm actually over in Japan this week. I'm presenting the keynote at an electronics conference where we're demonstrating the ability to charge an electric car when you pull it into your garage.
Wow.
So you drive in, there's a mat plugged into the floor, basically. The coil that's built into the mat essentially couples to one that's underneath the vehicle so people don't get anywhere near it, and it transfers actually about 3,000 watts so that overnight your car will charge. So think of all these new electric cars coming onto the market. You won't even have to plug them in.
Well, Farhad, how exciting does that sound to you? I know you're pretty much of a skeptic of these things scaled up beyond the laptop.
I mean, if it works, I would be that sounds great. You know, I'm a skeptic just because of the kinds of gadgets we've seen so far haven't been great. But I would be the first one to get a laptop that charges wirelessly in a room that I enter. I mean, I think that would be magical.
Farhad, you know, I it's really difficult for me to break away from a tech segment this week without asking you about the new Windows cell phone. Without having seen this myself, is this going to cause as much buzz as the iPhone did?
No. In a word, no. I mean, the problem with the Windows cell phone is it's actually just an update. And from what I've read, I haven't tried it either, but from reviews I've read, it's a very poor and almost incomplete update of the operating system that Microsoft has released for mobile phones for a long time, for many years. And they've made some aesthetic changes. They've changed the interface a little bit. But from what I've read, if you dig down deep into the phone and try the various menus and everything, some parts of it don't work, and some parts of it work as well as the phone did, you know, back 4 years
ago. No raves for Farhad from Farhad Manju, who writes on technology news for Slate.com. Thanks to both of you. Eric Geiler was also with us. He's the CEO of Y-Tricity, a company that is developing wireless electricity technology. He's about to do a demo out there in Tokyo, Japan. You know, the tech writers give Microsoft no attitude whatsoever.
It either doesn't work or it works as well as it did 4 years ago.
No, I think most tech writers view a new thing from Microsoft as like kind of a disease.
I know.
It's like H1N1 or something.
Yeah, here's
poor Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Poor Microsoft.